We have visited this passage several times over the years, and we have visited this particular theme and subject at least once before, maybe with a different text. I want to talk tonight out of verses 1 and 2 in Psalm chapter 1. Let's stand together, please. Good to see Ben Payne in the service tonight. He had his knee surgically repaired on Friday, and he's supposed to be able to get back to college in time for the fall semester, so that's good. And remember to pray for him if you think about Ben Payne. You join me on verse 2, please. Very familiar passage. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. My dear Father, thank you so much for your word. Please open now our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach us tonight, dear Lord. I pray that everybody will give a listening ear and that everybody's heart and spirit will be open to the Holy Spirit so that then a work can be done. Lord, some need a work done tonight before tragedy strikes. So, Lord, help us, please. Speak to us. Guide me through the message. Give me the thoughts and wisdom I need to preach it. Bless these folks that are going to sing the song to our hearts in time for the message. In Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
When I think of all my faults and all my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I can never nothing precious I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a priceless gift to Him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away, but every time I come before His throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees a nail-scarred hand that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed by the blood of I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed.
All right, very good. Amen. I enjoyed that good song tonight. I want to speak to you on the subject, happiness is tied in knots. And I am spelling that N-O-T-S, not K-N-O-T-S, all right? Happiness is tied in knots, N-O-T-S. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor, or does not stand in the way of sinners, nor, or does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Happiness is tied in knots. Dear Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight. Please bless me. Thank you that when we come before your throne, we stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Thank you, Jesus, for counting us worthy of your life. Thank you for counting us as friends. Help us to live for you. Help us to be guided by principles that will cause us to live for you. May I have your help and power and blessing in discussing one such principle tonight. I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. This psalm is very simply about the blessed man. Blessed is the man. The word blessed simply means happy. So when you read the word blessed in the book of Psalms over and over and over again, in other places, it means happy. The Bible says, happy is the man that. Now, if someone wants to be happy in life, then it stands to reason they would study what this psalm teaches is necessary for happiness. And I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about people who believe this is the Word of God and who want to be happy. And I would suppose that would be 100% of everybody in this room. I don't think anybody particularly wants to be unhappy in life. What's your goal in life? Oh, to be as unhappy as I can. I don't think that's your goal. I think your goal is to be happy. And my goal would to be happy. So happy is the man that. So we're interested in this. What does this psalm teach is necessary for happiness? And when you start looking at it, you realize how conflicting it is with what people are sometimes fond of saying. What do you mean? Well, Pastor, they have so many negatives at church. Our kids are not happy because there's so many negatives. Pastor, my husband is not happy with church. There are too many negatives. Pastor, my wife is unhappy there. There are too many negatives. Pastor, my kids are not happy in the school. There are just too many negatives. Have I heard that once or twice? Now, God said that this man is happy. And the first characteristic given about this happy man is that he has established some knots in his life. He's established some negatives. So, in this ear, I hear, and I don't mean I'm hearing it now, but over 18 years and 10 years, 28 years of ministry, over 28 years of ministry, I hear in one ear that people aren't happy because there are negatives at a fundamental church. Oh, I would never go to a fundamental church because there's too many negatives there. You can't be happy. There's so many negatives, you can't be happy. So I hear that in one ear, and then in this ear, I hear God say that the happy man's happiness is tied to knots, tied to negatives. So I don't know what you're going to do. But I'm going to do what the Bible says, and let God be true and every man a liar. I don't think people are purposefully lying. I just don't think they're right. Well, you're right at all. Now, when you look at what it says, the happy man has established that he will not. He's established this. He's got some boundaries. He's got some parameters. He's got some goals, some fences in place, if you will, some barriers that he has established himself. He has established that he will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He will not stand in the way of sinners, nor will he sit in the seat of the scornful. This is established in his life. It's set in his life. Established, okay? Obviously, folk, when you read this verse, you see that the not walking led to the not standing, which led to the not sitting. So if he had not established some negatives, he would have walked, he would have stood, and he would have sat, and he would have been in a big mess. Which is where some young people are right now. because they bought the lie that happiness cannot be found in negatives. They bought the lie that happiness cannot be found within the parameters, the boundaries of the fence. Happiness cannot be found in this box of rules. It cannot be found. It is too negative. It is too narrow. And the Bible says just the opposite. The fact that this man had some established knots caused him to be happy in life. By the way, parents, the happy man's first established negative, number one, is that he will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's his first established negative. His first one. And that, my friend, is an important choice. It is a choice concerning one's friends, one's companions, one's influences. You see, when you walk with unsaved friends, when you hang with unsaved friends, when you run around with unsaved friends, when you ride around with unsaved friends, you're going to pick up ungodly counsel. This is an unchanging, endless principle that doesn't go away after our kids graduate from high school. We think it's good when they're a junior and a senior, but you know, when they become college age, you know, they're young adults and they can't break God's eternal principles. They remain the same. That's good for adults. You can't have intimate friendship with the ungodly without subjecting yourself to ungodly counsel. This is an endless, unchanging Bible principle. It's one of these principles that I preached about last Sunday night, that if we'll just embody this, we can live the Christ life. But you can't live the Christ life apart from Bible principle. You can't do it. And you can't just give lip service to it. You got to put shoe leather to the principle. You got to have some negatives. And you got to have it established. It's a familiar story in your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel, I can't remember now if it's 1st or 2nd. I think it's 2 Samuel 13. Amnon had a friend. Amnon was the king's son. And he thought some very, very wicked and unholy thoughts about his half-sister Tamar. And he said, I can't do that. It would be ungodly and wrong. But he had a friend named Jonadab, who was his cousin. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Very sneaky, very wily, very beguiling, very, if you will, seductive. And he got with Amnon cousin to cousin, and they began to talk. And Jonadab removed all restraint from Amnon. And Amnon entered into that relationship with his half-sister Tamar. And what a mess resulted from the counsel of the ungodly. I don't care what your last name is. It could be Angel. It could be Hanson. It could be anybody sitting in these pews tonight. I don't care who we are, friend. We can't flaunt. You can't flaunt rebellion in the face of the principles of God without getting burnt. Can't do it. Now, some of you need to listen tonight. Hear what I'm saying. You got to be careful about people out of fellowship with God. You've got to be careful about that. You've got to be careful to make sure that you surround yourself with people who are going to be a positive influence in your life and the right influence in your life, and not bring ungodly counsel. Ungodly counsel will bring you down. The hearing of it, the listening to it, the pondering about it. You've got to be careful about fellowshipping with people who are not right with God. Listen, folks, you say, what about church members who go awry? Do you understand that part of the restoration of a person who is in rebellion to God, part of what God uses to restore them back to fellowship with God is broken fellowship with His people. That's what happened to the prodigal son. They didn't flock to the prodigal son to protect him from his daddy. The problem was not his dad. The problem was the son. He was wrong. And he got down there alone by himself in a hog pen with nothing to eat but the husks that the swine did eat. And it was all of that experience that caused his eyes to open and caused him to see, what am I doing? If he'd been visited by people trying to protect him from his daddy, he never would have got right with God. Y'all with me tonight? You be careful about fellowshipping with people who are out of fellowship with God. There are young people flaunting rebellion to this truth. You can't flaunt yourself in the face of Bible principle and do that without getting burnt. Live by Bible principle. Here is a man who was happy, and the first characteristic about this man is what he did not do. And his first not was he was not going to influence himself, put himself to influence with ungodly people. Now, I want you to notice the results of the happy man's knots. Look at verse number 2. But. He has these knots. He will not walk with the ungodly. He will not stand with the sinner, nor will he sit in the seat of the... And by the way, that's what happens when you walk with ungodly. You begin to stand around long enough to be influenced by them, and you end up becoming a scorner. But, verse 2, instead of walking with the ungodly, instead of standing with sinners, instead of sitting in the seat of the scornful, instead of all that, instead of getting himself into a royal mess, this man, this happy man, delights. I like that. He delights in the law of the Lord. You know what the word delight means? It means pleasure. The happy man is full of pleasure. He is pleased to obey the law of the Lord. He is pleased to learn the law of the Lord. He is pleased carrying out the law of the Lord. You know what that happy man is? He's charged about living for God. He's excited about the Word of God. He's excited about the way of God. He's excited about the will of God. He's charged up. So folks, here it is. The negatives he has established allow him to find pleasure in God's Word, God's way, and God's will. Without those negatives, he has no pleasure in God's Word, he has no pleasure in God's way, and he has no pleasure in God's will. And I'll promise you tonight, I could nail folks who are fellowshipping with the ungodly, and I'll promise you, you find no pleasure in God's Word. It's not enjoyable to come to the church house and hear preaching. You find no pleasure in God's will, and you find no pleasure in God's way. There's no delight. It's all drudgery. I want to tell you how you can really help yourself tonight. Get yourself tied in knots. Get you some knots. Get some knots established in your life. I'll guarantee it, no doubt about it, people struggling right now with God's will, God's way, and God's Word have not established any negatives in their life. Now, folks, wait. Don't jump to a conclusion that I'm not preaching about tonight. I'm not talking about isolation. I'm not talking about not being friendly. I'm not talking about handing somebody a gospel tract and even building a relationship with a lost person. I'm talking about fellowship with them. I'm talking about intimate relationship. That's what I'm talking about here tonight. Look, folks, look. If you take, let's say the battery in your car goes dead, and you've got a battery charger, one of the greatest things you'll ever buy yourself if you can afford is a battery charger. Now, you can pull that battery charger out of the shed or out of the garage or out of the closet on wheels, roll that thing out, plug it into an outlet, power it up, take the positive cable and squeeze it and hook it on the positive terminal on the battery, turn that charger on to run for 24 hours. And you know what? You're not going to charge that battery. It ain't going to happen. Leave it on there for a week. Leave it on there for a month. run it and run it and run it and run it for 6 months, run it for 8 months, run it for a year with the power surging through that battery cable to that positive terminal. And if you don't ground that charge with the negative, if you don't ground it with the negative cable, it will never complete the cycle. It will never charge up to take the car down the road. So we're so crazy. We feel like the negative things are what's keeping us from having energy and enthusiasm and excitement and pleasure and being delighted about serving God, when it's the negative things have got to be in place in order to complete the cycle to create the charge. That's why you're not charged up. That's why you have no delight in God. You're breaking barriers. You have nothing established in your life. You have no knots. It's whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, with whoever I want to do it. And I'll be all right, Dad. But I'm tired of church, and I'm tired of God's Word, and I'm tired of the songs of God. You have no energy. You've lost your charge. You've got to be grounded. That negative cable has got to be grounded. There has to be some negative in our life. It's like being grounded, which then allows the positives to take full effect, be charged. This man established the knots. This is what I will not do. This is what I will not do. This is what I will not do. And with the power of God's Word and God's way and God's will, he delighted in serving God. It's a pretty simple passage, really, isn't it? Nothing deep about this, folks. It's just called living Bible truth. Exodus chapter 20. Let's get over there. Okay, Exodus chapter 20. You know what that is? That's the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. And I've heard that stuff about fundamental churches. It goes in one ear and out the other. I'll keep preaching some negatives along with the positives. Got to. And I plan to keep preaching. I don't plan to turn this pulpit into a teaching time. I plan to keep preaching. Because I believe preaching changes lives. Exodus chapter 20. Look at all the... Here's the Ten Commandments. Let's look at them. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods. What's he saying? Do not have other gods before me. Do not. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Do not have a graven image. Do not bow down to it. Do not serve it. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Then you get to verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You say, well, there's nothing negative about that. Whoa, 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 whoa. Look at verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thou manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate, so forth and so on. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. 15, thou shalt not steal. 16, thou shalt not bear false witness or lie against thy neighbor. 17, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house, neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, ox, ass, anything that is thy neighbor's, thou shalt not covet. Let's sound like God's trying to establish some knots in our lives. You say, well, that's the Old Testament law. And there are greater commandments. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Jesus came in the New Testament and he said, here's the first and great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy strength, and all thy soul. The second is like unto it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You say, I'm just going to concern myself with loving the Lord because that's what Jesus taught us to do. I'm going to concern myself with loving Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm going to concentrate on loving my neighbor as myself. I want to tell you something, friend. You cannot concern yourself with just loving the Lord and ignoring all the knots. That Ten Commandments, that's a very good and relevant moral code of behavior. It's just like that one commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How do I make the Sabbath day holy? How do I get out of the Sabbath day, Old Testament Israelite? What I should get out of it? I do not do this, and I do not do that, and I do not do this. And the do nots of the Sabbath day allow me to get from it what God wants me to get. Do you see the cycle? Now, how are we going to love the Lord and ignore not taking His name in vain? That's double talk. How are we going to love God and ignore not stealing? How are you going to love God and ignore the command not to commit adultery? I'm sorry, if you don't have some knot somewhere in your life, you can't begin to love God. So it's all in here. It's the negative and the positive. The not taking His name in vain, and the not stealing, and the not committing adultery, and the not coveting allows me, allows you to love God and others with all of our heart. It charges, it helps complete the charge. It helps me to delight in the way of God, the will of God, the Word of God. That's just now. Let me just give you some for instances tonight. Don't turn to it. How about Genesis 39, 7 and 8? When Potiphar's wife said to Joseph, "Lie with me." What Joseph said, "I will not." Now you tell me how he could have shown love to God apart from the "I will not." And I'm going to tell you something. He's a young man, and he's got red blood coursing through his veins, and the hormones are raging. And it took some real grit. But he had a boundary. He had a fence. He had a barrier. He had a principle. And he said, "I will not." Then you get over, don't turn to it, but you get over in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse number 10. And there's Saul asleep. And Abishai says to David, "Kill him. Kill him." And David says no, and he cuts a little piece of his skirt off Saul's armor, Saul's clothing. And it bothered him, smote his heart. And then Saul wakes up and David hollers across the way and says, "Hey, king." And Saul says, "David, is that you?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Look," David said, "look, they told me to kill you. They told me to smite you." But he said, "I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord Saul, for he is the Lord's anointed." And let me ask you a question. Was Saul in good fellowship with God? Saul was out of fellowship with God. He was being visited by devil spirits. He was not right. He was filled with jealousy and the rage of all that that produces. But David said, "There's a principle. Here's a barrier. Here's a fence. I'm not going to go beyond that principle. I'm not going to go beyond that barrier. I will not." Now you tell me how he could have loved God apart from that negative principle. "I will not do this." I love the story of Uriah. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 11. David has now sinned and has brought Uriah home to have him go down and spend the night with his wife. Here's a man who's been away from his wife. And he didn't go spend the night with her. And then David gets him drunk. Isn't that interesting? That he gets him drunk with the intentions of, he'll go down and see his wife now. I should tell you something about alcohol. And he didn't do it. And David called him and said, "What are you doing? What have you done, sir?" Thank God, Uriah, he's not the most well-known. He's not the most renowned man in the pages, on the pages of the Word of God. But Uriah looks his king in the face and says, "King, the Ark of the Covenant and the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah and my fellow soldiers are out there on the front lines. And you want me to go down and enjoy the pleasures of marriage with my wife? I will not do this thing." What character? No. Now you tell me something. All the positives in the world didn't keep Uriah out of that situation. It was a negative that he established in his life and said, "I will not do this thing." I think about Naboth. 1 Kings 1:21. And here comes Ahab with all the influence and the power and the wealth of the kingship at his disposal. Naboth said, what price do you want? Charge me more than it's worth. I don't care. I'll give it to you. I'll pay you for it. Or whatever you want. I'll give you one 10 times better. And Naboth looked at the king and he said, King, I can't do that. This is the inheritance of my father, passed down from generation to generation. I will not give thee the inheritance of my father's. A principle, a barrier. I'm not going to do that. Nehemiah is rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. Here comes the enemy and some of the fellow builders there. Nehemiah, go in the temple and protect yourself. And Nehemiah says, should such a man as I flee? Who is there that would go into the temple to save his life? I love what he said. I will not go in. I'm not going in. So I love the three Hebrew boys. Bow down and worship this. King, our God is able to save us from the burning fiery furnace. And we believe He will. But if not, by the way, that's not a whole lot of faith, is it? That's the same kind of faith you and I. Our God can do it, I think. We believe He'll save us. But if not, we're not bowing down. Now, look at Daniel chapter 1. Let's get over there real quick. Daniel chapter 1. Well, I'm just trying to remind you tonight of a very plain, simple Bible principle. It could be life-saving for some folks. If it continues to be ignored by some folks, you're going to get in big trouble. Please listen tonight. Daniel 1 and verse number 8. I love this scripture. But Daniel purposed in his heart, verse 8, that he would not. Well, I got too many negatives. Come on. That's old. And it's not true. It's a bunch of poppycock. Too many negatives, too many negatives. Kids can't negative. No, the negatives just take all their happiness. I'm sorry, folks. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not. And the word says here, would not defile. I trace that word back. I don't believe you have to have a Hebrew dictionary to understand the book here. I don't believe that. But I don't think it's wrong to look it up. I've traced that word back on a word study. You know, I've said this before, but it fits so well with what I'm going to say tonight, what I've been saying, what I want to say right now. The word defile here, the definition is the sense of freeing himself. Freeing himself. Now listen to me. This is home over here in Jerusalem. He is taken thousands of miles away to Babylon. He is not home. At home, he has been living under the rules, the negatives, the barriers, the boundaries, the fences of his parents and those who influenced him. He's been sheltered. But now he's on his own. He's a long ways away. And you know what Daniel purposed in his heart? Oh, don't miss this. He purposed in his heart that while he was in Babylon, he would not free himself to live differently than how he had lived in Jerusalem. What a wise man. If this was good for me in Jerusalem, it won't be just as good in Babylon. It'll be better in Babylon. And by the way, it was 10 times. I say this tonight because we've got kids fixing to go off to college again. And 4 or 5 going away for the first time, as is almost the case now every fall. And kids from who've been brought up with barriers and boundaries and fences and protection and this is what, and young person, young man, young lady, you just because you're going to a Bible college has the name Baptist on it doesn't mean it's going to be utopia. You get to that place, the wisest thing you'll ever do for yourself is live in your Bible college like you lived at home. If your Bible college has standards to the right of yours, you get in the program and obey it. But if your Bible college has standards to the left of yours, you pull a Daniel and you say, I'm not going to live differently here than I live there. And you see if it's not 10 times better. I'm going to tell you what happens. You get down here and you throw away what your daddy taught you. You throw away what mama taught you. And it's not 10 times better. It's a grudge to come back to Faith Baptist Church. It wasn't when you left. But it is now. And because they expect me to bring a Bible and sing. What an ungodly burden to put on your shoulders to sing the hymns of God. I'm so sorry. We'll have to change our approach. It's funny, you sang when you were here in 12th grade. I'm going to tell you something. Every kid that's gone away from this place and lowered their standards from what mom and dad had has not come out 10 times better. You mark it down, friend. Keep your standards and keep the barriers and live within them and honor your dad. You will never, are you listening tonight? You will never, never go wrong honoring your dad and honoring your mom. Never. I said never. N-E-V-E-R, never. Look, these guys gave up all the meat, all the finery, all the diet of Babylon. Melzar thought they were going to come out of that thing scrawny, weak, sickly boys. He thought his head was going to be laying in a silver charger. But God got involved in those boys' lives because they honored their dad, honored their mom. And when they came out, they were 10 times better than what Melzar ever saw. I'm going to tell you, only God can do that. Now you go ahead, Buster. You live your life apart from what you've been taught and apart from how you've been raised, and you see how it comes out. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to come out 10 times better. You're going to be a whole lot worse off than you were before. So what are you so excited about? Because I'm watching young people walk away from what made them what they were. And moms and dads have prayed and taught and preached and lived and honored. Do right. Do right. Some of you young men, you got Diane's going off for the first time in a few weeks. Travis leaves tomorrow. Luke leaves tomorrow. Chris follows in just a few days. You guys are going off. Some of these kids, this is their last service. This is my fourth one to send away. It never gets easy to send a child away. Never. It's as traumatic as it was with the first one. And every year I go through this whole thing. Oh God, please, please, if it's my child or if it's your child, God, please, when they get away, help them to be like a Daniel and determine and purpose that they're not going to free themselves from the way that they were taught to live. They're not going to free themselves from the boundaries and the parameters with which they were raised. Help them, Lord, please, to be like Daniel and determine, I will not free myself from the way that I was raised. I'll live within those boundaries. How few young men and how few young women exercise this kind of wisdom. Y'all listening tonight? And I want to say to you kids that do that, it will seem like you're getting left behind. It will seem like you're missing out. It will seem like others are having so much more fun. But you be patient. And you wait it out. And you honor God. Daniel asked for some time. And at the end of that time, they came out 10 times better. Don't run from the negatives. Don't ignore the negatives. Let me ask you a question. Did having some established knots hinder Daniel from a blessed life? Nope. In fact, if you go down through that list of men, Joseph, David, Uriah, Naboth, Nehemiah, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, that's pretty good company. That's pretty good company. The person who has some established knots, he will not walk with. Some established knots about who he will not stand with. Some established knots about who he will not sit with. That man will find his happiness is tied to those knots. It completes the charge, and he will find pleasure in the Word of God, the way of God, and the will of God. That's all right there in that passage. Happy is the man who does not. Do you have any knots in your life? Any? Any? Got any knots in your life? I'm not even talking to the parents right now. I'm talking to you kids. You got any knots? You have any knots? Any knots whatsoever concerning music? Any knots concerning friends? Do you have any knots in your life? Is there anything you will not do? Is there anywhere you will not go? Anything you will not listen to? Anything you will not watch on television? Anything you will not read? No, Pastor, you know, I've just learned over the years that negatives just don't make you happy. I beg to differ with you. God said the happy man, he's got some knots established. And because he does, he finds pleasure in God. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.